Right now it's time once again where we're joined by Brian Ross, Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning at this time, and we take a look at news stories out and about there. Good morning there, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall, and to all your great listeners in the Breakfast Club.
You know, before we get to the debacle in Washington, D.C., I want to ask you a few questions as someone who's been involved in reporting for a long, long, long time. What happened at the Capitol of the U.S. Back in January. Now there is an election that is being contested and also a coup in Myanmar. And the United States is now in a different position than it was really before that thing that happened. I won't call it an attempted coup. But really, some of the credibility that we can stand on has been taken down a notch or two. And I think it's difficult, and it's interesting. I think Joe Biden is handling the job well right now, but he's got a lot of things now that are percolating on the international front, and with the United States really the past 4 years backing away and basically supporting governments that are more intense like that, it puts the United States back in a strange position I don't think it's ever been in.
I would agree with that, and I think part of it is the rest of the world is telling us, get your own house in order before we go around the world lecturing others about how they should carry out their democracies. And, you know, strangely, the photographs out of Myanmar where the troops surrounding the presidential palace and the fences look very eerily similar to what we see in Washington, D.C., with troops and fences surrounding the Capitol. Donald Trump left quite a mess in his wake, and we'll see about next week when the impeachment trial begins. But as you say, it's a huge task for Joe Biden, who rightly has said, you know, America can't go it alone and needs to have allies and consult with allies. So he's taken, and so has the Secretary of State Blinken taken, I think, all the right steps there. But it is, when we see those pictures overseas of democracies crumbling or coups, it reminds us so much of what almost happened here.
You know, and today Joe Biden is going to be giving a speech to all the Department of State and trying to once again build back their energy and that they're not an enemy of the state. They're not a deep state organization. I think it's so important, and I think our press should really, really highlight some of the coverages that Joe Biden has got. Yes, this what's going on in Washington, which we'll get to in a moment, is just simply weird. But as president now, we have to think, and we have to see Joe Biden act on the China front. He's already extended a treaty with Russia and spoken with Putin. He hasn't spoken with Xi yet. But our national media kind of every once in a while leaves these things in the background while they're covering the aerobic exercise that goes on in Washington.
Well, good for him and his Peloton. That's very good. And his fancy Rolex watch. Those are all interesting points. You know, it is interesting in the news world when a normal becomes a news story. Mm-hmm. It's a news story that there are actual daily news briefings at the White House, that scientists are actually brought out to speak to reporters and give America the straight talk on what's going on with the COVID-19. You know, generally we say we don't cover planes that land safely, we cover crashes. Well, here it's the reverse. It's a news story now, and this is the striking thing, that things are normal. Because they were so abnormal for so long, and it became almost a normalized thing that was scary. And it's taking a while for us, I think, to adjust to competence and efficiency and decency in government.
And it's, you know, it's interesting. It's like I said, 4.5 years ago, I would have never thought this, but the United States and the people in the United States and the news media in the United States have to get back to the normality of covering other things than just these hotspot things that happen. You know, they're so used to covering. One thing about Donald Trump, he was always in the news, so hotspots were over. Hopefully, now the news media will get back to a more balanced coverage of looking at the world in general and how it relates to the U.S. coming back on the world stage.
Right. But as you know, in the news world, it's a cruel world out there. And we cover what makes news, and what makes news are what people think are interesting. They always say, Marshall, if you can make the interesting important and the important interesting, you'll always have a career in journalism.
That's right. Well, let's skip over here to what's happening in Washington. I'm a progressive. I'm not a liberal. I'm beyond a liberal. I look a little concerned at the Democrats willing to pull some some rank and remove a Republican member who has disrespected herself with her comments, which she's made all along. And instead of the media covering it like it's covering, I wish they would just remind people that when Al Franken was accused of something that he did when he was an entertainer on a plane 20 years prior, Al Franken resigned his Senate seat. He didn't resign any assignments in the Senate. He resigned his Senate seat. And that seems to have been forgotten by our media when they're covering the story of what's happening in the Republican Party with a representative from Georgia. And then Liz Cheney, who had a fight for her life to keep what she has going on.
Well, she was endorsed last night by Kevin McCarthy, who also essentially endorsed the wacko from Georgia. It's a strange thing. You know, it's very dicey, though, if people of the district in Georgia want to send someone like that, like Marjorie Greene, to the Congress. I suppose that's their right. You know, it is a democracy. She represents the people there. I'm told that that's a part of the world that is really strange, and you know, it's talk about deliverance, the backwoods there.
Well, that's the whole thing. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the Democrats end up doing. I'm more in favor of the Democrats trying to put a motion of a little censor up and leave her in office. And she's only got two committee assignments.
Education?
Yeah, one of them.
Should someone like that be in any way involved in setting policy?
Yeah.
But, you know, the result is that they have handed the Democrats quite a good campaign issue for the off-year elections in 2022. Is this the kind of person you want to vote for?
Yeah, it's and more and more frequently you can see the divisions that the Democratic Party has always had a big tent, okay? And there's always been the Democrats love to eat one another. I mean, it's just the way it is. But the Republicans don't have a huge tent, but now they have a tent that has let in quite a few members that are QAnon followers and stuff like that. And that is a problem that is going to be much harder to deal with over the course of the coming months and years, simply because maybe someone's not making any statements like that now, but they will be, because nobody wants to give up in the Republican Party the support that Donald Trump had from those 70 million other voters.
And you know, in the vote, which apparently was a secret ballot to keep Lynch Cheney in her position in the House leadership, there were 60 or more than 60 Republicans who voted against her.
Yeah, it's very strange that I'm sitting here defending Lynn Cheney with the name, but it's a pretty wild scene what's going on in Washington.
Well, the Republican Party is being torn apart, as Senator Mitt Romney said. It's a big tent, but not big enough to have kooks. That's what they're trying to draw a line at. They're hurting themselves, and they must see that at some level. I suspect that when the impeachment hearings begin, the trial begins next week, they will further damage themselves, and the Democrats are perhaps just trying to run this up the flagpole just as a reminder to Americans and American voters. These are the people we're talking about when we talk about the Republican Party. It is the Trump Party, as my friend Chris Cuomo says, the Trumplicans.
You know, and we look now at the news that we have covered, and there's just with a different president in power, there are other stories. Strange enough, there's other stories other than COVID-19, even though COVID-19 is a very important story. Like you said, the press office at the White House now touches on all these other stories, and our press is now starting to follow. So it's not just COVID-19, Donald Trump, COVID-19.
Yeah,
Donald
well,
Trump.
We're shaking off both. We hope the hospitalizations are down and the deaths are dropping, that's all good news. Let me just close off by talking about one story that we haven't mentioned. I want to add my voice to the tributes to Ed Kirby, who died this week. A man of Sharon, the great historian. I became a friend of his through his kids and got to know him very well, and it was my honor, really, Marshall, to do an oral history interview with him for the Sharon Historical Society a few months back, in which he talked with such great joy and accomplishment and pride about his growing up in Sharon, his children, what he did at the high school, the people he mentored into professional baseball, and his love of this town of Sharon.
You know, I've known the Kirbys. I'm 68 years old. I've known the Kirbys since I was 5 years old. I've known them since school. The kids, of course, Ed Jr.,
And Mo and Ann and Kevin, yep.
Yep. And when you see someone with the stature of Ed Kirby pass away, really, I mean, what Ed Kirby represented is there's that old phrase of a life well lived. This is a man who set out to live his life a certain way and did and impacted so many people, not just through the high school and his incredible baseball coaching, which led to, I think, 7 major leaguers coming out of Housatonic Valley Regional High School, of course, led by Steve Blass, and not with just his rapport with the students and parents, but also his interest in the history of not only our area, but also Butch Cassidy and geology. I mean, he was one of the most rounded individuals and most committed individuals, and he made it all seem so easy.
I know. He was a real Renaissance man. Every board meeting of the Sharon Historical Society began with a historical minute from Ed, who would tell us tales of Sharon that we just had never heard of before. Whether it was during the Revolutionary War or in the 1930s, he had such a deep and knowledge and love for the town of Sharon.
Well, once again, we extend our condolences to the entire Kirby family. And when the arrangements come out, of course, we will put them on the air and announce them. But know that we have, in Sharon, over the past couple of years, we've lost some of our really stalwart mainstay families that made Sharon what they are. And Ed Kirby really is a significant feature. For someone who didn't hold political office like selectman or anything like that, his influence on Sharon and the whole tri-state region was simply immense.
And, you know, when he talked about Sharon and growing up here and seeing the town become what it is, there was a twinkle in his eye, or kind of an inner happiness about what he had seen and what he had helped achieve.
Yeah. A great man, no doubt about it. Well, Brian, thanks for bringing that up, and we'll speak to you next week.
Absolutely, Marshall. Great to be here.
Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. And if you miss it on air, you can get it online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.